Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Vinko Psychic Hour. Today we are broadcasting on a Tuesday, obviously not our normal Wednesday, but here we are. So we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to take that caller in a moment. And also we're going to be discussing the difference between religion and spirituality. So call in number is 914-338-0164. And you press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, callers. You may follow us on Facebook and on Twitter and here on Blog Talk Radio. The accounts, our social media accounts, are on our Blog Talk Radio homepage, so you can find those accounts via that page. And I guess that's it. We're back on the air on Friday, so that's a regular time on Friday this week. So let's bring on this caller, 229. Hi, 229.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Tessa.
Tessa?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Where are you calling from, Tessa?
I'm from Georgia, but I live in South Carolina.
Oh, you're calling from South Carolina. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we've spoken with you before.
No.
Tessa. What's your birthday, Tessa?
9/14/79.
9/14/79. You just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you turned 40.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's your karmic number.
Yeah. That's your karmic number, Tessa. So in numerology, you're a 40 equals 4. So you're going to be having a big change this year if you aren't already experiencing one right now. What's your question today?
I was trying to see, like, will things get better financial-wise?
Financial-wise, will things get better? Well, give us a little synopsis of what's been going on financial-wise for you.
Yes. Just pretty overwhelming.
Okay.
With bills and stuff.
So, can you give us a little bit more detail?
A lot of stress, overwhelming with bills.
Overwhelmed with bills? Do you work?
Yes.
Okay. And, but your expenses, do you have children?
Yes, I have one.
One child. How old's your kid?
5 years old.
5 years old. Are you a single mother?
No.
So you have the father's lives with you?
Yeah.
You're married. Okay. So what's the problem?
Yeah, I'm not married though.
You live together, so it's like.
Yeah.
Like you cohabitate. So, okay. So, and you both work. So what are the overwhelming bills?
It's like, I guess I need better management. That'll, medical bills and stuff I have also.
Yeah,
like I'm a diabetic. the paper, insulin, and all that kind of stuff.
Tessa, I was picking up that there was some nurses around you or something to do with nursing. So I was feeling that maybe 2 minutes ago. So who's the one involved? Are there any nurses in the family?
Well, actually, my grandmother used to be a nurse. She retired from it.
Okay. So your grandmother was a nurse. And there are health conditions going on with who, you?
Yes.
All right. Well.
And she says she's diabetic. You're diabetic. You said insulin. So.
Yeah, I'm a diabetic. I have thyroid problem. I got it all.
So question, your insurance, you have insurance?
Yes, but my deductible is so high. By the time I meet it, it's time to start over.
Wow.
Because I have my son on there.
And there's no, you don't qualify for any government programs because you both work, probably. So you probably make too much any assistance, which is really too bad because.
Yeah, but I was thinking about letting my son go on his father's insurance. Maybe that'll help me out some. Would it be cheaper for me?
Well, first, I have two questions. One is the man you're living with, the father of the child?
Yes.
And does he work?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so the only thing that I'm seeing psychically, and Kristen can give her take on it, but I'm seeing that there's some kind of assistance you can get in regard to your medical condition. I'm not sure what it is yet. But if you're looking for a boost in your income, the only thing that I'm picking up on psychically is that there's some kind of financial assistance you could get that you haven't looked into yet regarding your medical condition. So that would be something you'd have to investigate. But other than that, I don't see money coming in any great form. But that might be of assistance to you. Like, let's say, maybe $400 a month, something like that.
Okay.
What's your general, you live where? What state?
She's South Carolina.
Yes.
And what are the two of you, what are you living on per month? What do you both make per month?
Well, actually, I don't know what he makes per month, but I make like $35,000 a year.
Okay. And you're renting a home? Apartment?
Well, actually, he's buying.
Are you going to be living with him?
Yes, I'm living here with him.
So you have a home that you're buying that you're living in? It's a home that you own? Or he owns?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, you know, the only thing I can say, Tessa, is you've got to look into your medical disability benefits or something that the state offers.
Well, she's not disabled. She works. So she's not going to be covered by disability. I mean, she's not disabled. Disability will only give her coverage if she's working a certain, I mean, she would have to apply for disability and work under a certain threshold. And usually, even if you're working, it's very difficult to get disability benefits.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at a photo lab.
Do you do customer service or do you process the photos?
I process them.
You process the photos?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing, the only thing I can tell you is I'm seeing an extra $400 a month. I believe it's coming from some kind of, it works out to be in the medical field. So I'm not sure what you could do to benefit that. But unless you have something to share with us about a possible income flow that you're aware of, and we can give you a take on it, that's all I'm picking up on right now.
Okay.
Well, Tessa, you know, you mentioned two different insurances that you were thinking of putting your child on your husband's insurance, or your oh, that's why you can't be on his insurance, because you're not legally married. That's why you can't be on his insurance. Would you have better benefits if you were on his insurance?
Probably not me, but I think my son probably would.
I mean, thinking creatively how to get you covered under a different policy, is there any way to change the policy that you're on? I'm assuming your benefits come through your employer, right?
Right.
Is it an HMO or is it a PPO?
PPO.
PPO. And your medication, you have big copays for the medication that you're on.
Right.
Is there any way to change your insurance? I imagine that there's other plans that you could look into, perhaps, or is it one strict plan that is offered by your employer? And caller from 202, we're going to be getting to in just a moment.
Well, we have two separate plans, but I'm on the best one that I could get.
I think that you should look into, have you searched at all online help for people with diabetes, which sounds like you have thyroid problems too, but just thinking about how much the insulin might cost, and I hear that it's very, very expensive, which is terrible because so many people need that medication to live. I would suggest looking into programs that assist people that have diabetes. Have you done that at all?
No, ma'am.
I would start to look online and see if there's anything that you can apply for, because I think that there's probably something out there. Like Neil was saying, there's probably a program out there that could supplement your insurance and that you might qualify for, that's not just, insurance for people that are unemployed or, under a certain income threshold. So I would start looking into that. And there must be agencies that, I don't know what the agencies are specifically, but national, Diabetes Foundation or places like that, and they might be able to point you into the to the right direction.
Okay.
I'm just looking real quick. Want to add anything else, Neil?
No, I mean, you're calling a psychic show about your income, and it's not like money's going to fall out of the sky, Tessa. We're giving you what we think is a vibrational interpretation of how you might make some money or gain some advantage to money, but I don't see anything else happening. The fact that we picked up nurses, and your grandmother was a nurse, and you're involved a lot with nurses, per se, kind of suggests that that's where the benefit's going to come from. So it could be, karmically speaking, that you have this advantage with medical energy whereby you can find a loophole or something where you can gain more money. I think that's your best bet on a psychic level.
American Diabetes Association is one, and perhaps you can contact them and see if they can direct you where best to seek assistance.
Okay.
It's sort of getting another job. I'm, on top of the job that you already have, which I don't know if that's possible for you.
Well, thanks for your help. Bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, area code 202.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. So, okay, would you like me to ask a question, or did you want to just jump in there?
Well, we'd like to get your name first. What's your name?
My name is Jackie.
I'm sorry, your name again, Jackie, did you say?
Yeah, yes.
Is that J-A-C-K-I-E or J-A?
It's with a Y, J-A-C-K-Y.
Oh. Okay, uh-huh. And where are you calling from, Jackie?
Maryland.
All right. And your birth date?
4/12/80.
1980. All right. She's a 25/7. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jackie, well, you've never called our show, I don't think. Have you called our show before?
I don't think so either.
So, real quick, your karmic and master number 25/7, 25, there would have been a big change. What happened when you were 25 years old? That would have been 2005.
I believe that's when I got my divorce.
Okay.
Okay.
So it was a big change, and you are currently 39 years old.
Yeah.
39 years old. Do you have a specific question?
Basically, if anything, it would be about work. I'm starting my own business, and I want to eventually quit my job and do my business full time.
Okay, in what form, nature, either specific or more obscure, does your business have to do with art design or art per se?
Nothing. I'm building my website. That's the only art it has to do with. But
I was going to say logo.
Okay, and you're building a website. Is any artistic? Is it all just information? Or are you trying to do something pictorial? Is there some kind of design or anything you're trying to put into it?
No, it's just basic.
What kind of work do you do?
Healthcare accounting.
Interesting.
Like consulting.
Our former caller had a healthcare thing too, so it's kind of
well,
funny
the only
that we got two.
You know, the image of health has that. Those two serpents, you know, on the cone, on the shaft. And that's a artistic element. I'm just kind of going with that for a second. Also, you're kind of relating your profession to the former caller that had a lot to do with health issues. But, and you're trying to be self-employed. I want to ask you another question, Jackie. Who in your family or in the background of your family or friends or anybody that did have artistic talent?
My sister does.
To what extent? Can you describe that?
She just draws every day. I don't know. Her job is like in the forest and she like draws trees and stuff.
Connecting. Some of that is connected to your sister. Okay, so is she forest management or is she involved in forest?
I don't know. More so like animals. She does something animals, yeah.
What does she help the animals?
Yeah. Mhm.
So you're in health care and she's in animal care. I'm just trying to get the correlation going. Why I'm seeing? Were your parents divorced, perhaps?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Okay, so there's some energies coming and starting to come in. And what I'm getting is that, and then Kristen can add to it, what I'm getting is that in April of 2020, you're really established. I mean, it's already now confirmed established. So we have September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. We have about 8 months for you to feel like you're solidly on your feet. Now, that doesn't mean in the midterm you're not going to grow and get stronger and stronger. You will. But by April, you could sit back and go, okay, this is security. I've worked this far and it's security. So it will be momentum in a gradual climb towards that area, but in April, and that's your month. I just noticed that's your month. But I'm picking it up as also significant in terms of success. So it's going to be about 8 months of work.
And she's actually on a multiple master number from the age of 25. So her, you at 25, you had a change at 32, and now you're 39 years old, which is 7 years beyond 32. So being in this process is in alignment with what's going on in terms of your master number psychically.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclically, rather, not psychically, cyclically. What kind of work are you, you're in healthcare right now aside from your personal business?
Yeah, so it's in the, I'm in the dental field, so it's dental, not like medical.
Mm-hmm. So dental, and what do you do? Are you in the billing aspect of the dental, or are you doing something more hands-on?
Right now I'm an administrator, so I do all the insurance and accounting.
So do you plan to quit your job when you get your business off the ground?
Yeah, my goal was to do it by April, so he was right on with that. So my goal is, because I'm moving in April, so I want to quit my job in April.
Okay. Where are you moving?
So that's the thing. I want to move to California because I just want to change for myself and my kids. So I don't know. If I move to California, I would have to be on my own, working on my own, because of location-wise, it's the cheaper place to live. It's farther to drive for, you know, a good-paying job. Or I can stay here in Maryland, which I don't want to do because I just want to change.
Where in California are you thinking of moving? What part?
Probably, I think it's called Temecula.
Temecula?
Temecula or something.
Temecula?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like southern inland, though. It's hot, hot there, but wine country.
Yeah,
we have a caller from last week who moved from, I can't remember, I think she lived in Arizona or something, and she moved to Oroville, which is in Northern California, but it's an adjustment for her because, you know, moving is an adjustment, and I think, you know, she would rather be somewhere else in California aside from where she's at now, but, and so, and are you currently, you're divorced from the father of your children?
Yeah, so he left. He moved out of the country and never spoke to us again. So I raised my kids myself. They're 20 and 17, so they're old enough for us to, like, make a move.
20 and 17. And are you single now?
Yeah, I've been single ever since.
You've never gotten a boyfriend or anything, dated, nothing?
No, well, it's just me, my kids, my dogs.
Yeah, I think that April, make the move, you know, start the center. I'm making a move to Temecula, and by April, things should be running pretty smoothly, relatively speaking, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay, Jackie, well, good luck. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
When she called, I thought it was going to be a relationship question, but that turned out to be what was going on with her change at the age of 25.
Oh, yeah.
So that was what it was.
Yeah.
Plus, it was a pretty traumatic breakup and having the father abandon the family. So it's kind of significant.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Anyway, so...
Well, spirituality came first. Religion is something that was more or less created. We created religion, but we didn't create spirituality. Spirituality came from our soul. It came from our relationship to nature and the cosmos, animals and things like that. Spirituality's energy originates in the element of mystery. Religion comes more with creeds and laws, and it's more concrete. So think of religion as a brick wall and spiritualism as the air itself. So it stems from spirituality stems from a sense of mystery. Spirituality is not an organized
it's not phenomena. Organized.
It's not organized.
Structured.
It doesn't demand money. It doesn't demand a congregation. Religion usually is the gathering of people and giving it types and of such things and following rules and realizing differences. It gets all mixed up into politics and government. Spirituality? No. That's a whole different area. As soon as the first human being looked at water and wondered what it was, that was spirit. As soon as they drew the first animal on a cave, that was spirit. As soon as they started to bury their dead, that was spirit. So spirituality, and that's just a tip of the iceberg, but they're vastly different. What religion did was it took spirituality and incorporated it into its organized thinking.
Right. So there are pros and cons to religion, obviously. But it's not, we can't say that you can't find an essence of spirituality within the constructs of religion.
Well, you can.
You can.
You can. But to me, in a strict metaphor, spirituality is a lion running free, and religion is putting the lion in the cage. You still have the lion, but it's in a cage. And it's not to knock religion. We're just talking about the differences. So there are confinements to religion and rules and regulations. Spirituality, not so much. Not so much. So we have this difference in the energy field. Spirituality, too, I mean, it's broadly speaking, it's very global. In most respects, there spirituality is an energy field that has spread globally throughout the planet with any conscious living being. Because in some aspects, there is spirit. Not always in religion. So in that regard, there's a vast difference. But now we're talking about, in the strictest of terms, religion is a mind thing and spirituality is more of an emotional soul thing. It doesn't mean that religion can't have soul in it, but religion is usually structured by the mind. It had to be created. It just wasn't there. So it had to be created. And there's many aspects of religion, of course, as we know, Islam and Christianity and
Judaism, but we don't need to name them all.
Catholicism. So there's all different forms of religion. And wars are basically fought. Religious wars. We don't. The spiritual war comes from the depth of like God and Satan or the serpent or whatever. That there seems to be a spiritual war going on there. It wasn't a religious war. So the idea, too, of spirit is creation. It's the essence of creation, the whole mystery of creation. And here again, we're dealing with the idea of religion as being more of an outline of how we are to conduct ourselves. And
well,
our belief,
if we're talking about
belief.
The mystery of creation, God set rules in the Garden of Eden. So
Well, he set rules, but he set rules about conduct.
Right,
but
religion does.
He just said one rule, and that was not to eat of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge. But the rules that were really set were on Mount Sinai with Moses. So it wasn't in the essence of the original spirit. There was a rule set about knowledge. and everlasting and eternal life, the tree of life. But the tree of life, I mean, there was no indication that before Adam ate of the tree of knowledge that there was any concept of death. So the tree of life was really had a different meaning, because before there was any attempt to eat of the tree of knowledge.
And Eve ate of the tree of knowledge before Adam did, by the way.
Well, yeah,
Eve ate first and then Adam.
Right. Ladies first.
In this case, yes.
In this case, to man's detriment. So what was that meaning? I mean, the language has been so corrupted, but still, in the tree of life, life is just the essence of living. The concept of death, meaning that life could end, didn't come in until this supposed biblical episode happened. And yes, Eve ate and then shared it with Adam. But then life became a condition. It was conditional. And not only was it conditional, but it was rapidly cemented. We're going to die now. So life is conditional. It's not unconditional. And as we know, we can die. There is no general rule when we die. We can die the day we're born. We can die when we're 115. There's no general rule. There's a big margin there. But now the tree of life has turned into a brief episode in terms of eternity. Now, if we look at that concept in terms of spirit, what the attitude of spirit is in terms of the tree of life in regards to death is that the spirit will live on, not the religion, not the man-made religion, but the spirit is indestructible. So the one thing that supposedly cannot be destroyed is the spirit. And usually you can take away someone's religion. You can strip them of religion. You can tear down the churches. You can burn the synagogues, the mausoleums and things like this. You can destroy it all. You can burn the books. But the spirit is something that a person has the option of dying with, and you can't take it away. You can try to break it, but you can't take it away. It's impossible. If it's so necessarily imposed upon the person that they're going to keep their spirit. So there are people who have died in the Holocaust. They had to spit on the Bible or the Ten Commandments, the tablets, and they refused to, and they were shot in front of their children, their families, particularly by the Nazis. So you can die for religion, but again, in that case, it's a representation of a belief in God. And so we get into the idea that in religion, we come up with the word sacred. It's sacred. Spirituality doesn't really necessarily have the term sacred in it, because sacred also comes from sacrilegious, and sacred means that it's honored. Is an honoring of an object or an idea.
Right, which is ties into God. Sacraments, obviously.
And sacraments and things like this. So it all stems from that same concept. So in the attitude of this difference between spirit and religion, and we're not saying that religion doesn't encompass spirit. Yes, there can be spirit and religion. Well, let's not confuse the two things, because we're not really being responsible with the term if we're going to merge them together completely. They are separate entities. And even in the triad of of common Christianity, the Father,
Father,
the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Spirit.
And if you offend the Holy Spirit, that's unforgivable. What is this Holy Spirit? What is spirit as opposed to religion? And I think it's something that is the is actually, if we use that, we bring back that term, actually more sacred than religion itself, is spirit. The spirit of our energies, of our life, that cannot be destroyed or corrupted if we so choose. So, too, I think what excites me about spirit is the whole mysticism of it. You can study religion, which I've studied, and find it vastly interesting. And you can take tests on it. You can read books on it. But spirit is something that's almost inarticulate. We try to form words around it and experiences, and we try to build paragraph upon paragraph describing what spirit is. But it's very difficult. So when we get down to a concept, we get to, you know, maybe spiritualism, or we get into some of the occults and things like this, the sciences of that. And of course, there are spiritualists who are more in the element of mystics, more of the higher energies, and there are, of course, document upon document books composed of spiritualism and spiritualists. But it's still, that is still somewhat of a corruption of the original term of spirit, because spirit comes without any really firm man-made energy. It comes from the mystery of just sheer existence, spirit. And something beyond what we see with the naked eye. So, to me, in other words, spiritualism really, in terms of our vocabulary, I think it fits into the third eye, and religion fits into the naked eye.
Well, and it's when you get into alternative forms of spirituality, New Age spirituality, what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that man ends up corrupting that spirituality, even though it's supposed to be, you know, the antithesis of what, you know, traditional religion is. So,
oh, give man or woman a word, they're going to corrupt it. Love is now love of car, love of money. The essence of love is not really captured by the romanticists at this point.
Right.
The romantic era is come and gone. We're in a digital age. We're in the love of our computer. We're in the love of selfies. We're in the love of Facebook. Our love, we're also in the love of division. We seem to thrive in the fact that we aren't a unit unto itself as a globe, that there are differences. Now, too, when you get into the idea that differences in life can still be spirit, a plant, an animal, a culture, a nation, a skin color. I think that whole variety of differences is still encaptured in the general concept of spirit, because I don't think spirit is a necessarily singular because there's variations. We all breathe the air, which isn't the essence of spirit, but not everything that breathes the air is going to look alike or absorb the air in the same way. Look at the Amazon rainforest being burned. Do we mourn religion or do we mourn spirit in terms of that energy, the natural resources of the planet, the breathing lungs of our globe? And making it for the way of farming and cattle and crops, mining, whatever it may be, the resources of the planet itself, we're getting into the idea now of drilling in Alaska and opening up our oceans to exploit the resources of the ground or the seas. Would we determine that to be a concept of religion or spirit if there is an argument over it? What is the fight over? So when you get into the idea of the essence, the bare bones of what it is to breathe on this planet, I think, yes, there's an argument for religion, but I think in deeper than that, in the bowels of thought, there is an attitude of spirit that overwhelms, of course, religion itself. So, I don't know. I think that religion it has a certain dimension that excludes, and that's the tragedy of it. We propose that religion is welcoming, but my God, look what the missionaries did to the Indians or the Hawaiians. How do we formulate an idea of religion and spirit and incorporate into that formation the idea of massacre or condemnation or rejection? So religion seems to pull the human soul into compliance. You believe what we believe, and then you will be joined in spirit with us. Even to the extent of the origins of Christianity, we are one in spirit, but you must believe in
Christ. Yeah, unless you disagree with us.
So this exclusion, and it isn't, I mean, it can happen anywhere. Look what's happening in Israel. And look at the division between the Israel and the Arabs, whether it was supposed to be a nation for Israel or it was supposed to originally be a two nation for Israel and Arabs. Look at that division. Both hold to their creeds, their religions, their beliefs. They both seem to believe in God, but there is an exclusion. So, when we look at this idea, we have come so far away from the dialogue of spirit, and that's the tragedy of it, that as soon as religion enters the picture, we start to have disagreements. And we start to have exceptions and expulsions and things like this. Spirit, in its essence, is life. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, which is now completely distorted. Give us your weary, your vagabonds, your lost, your forgotten. The Statue of Liberty is actually encaged in fear and prejudice and exception. So I think, for generally speaking, in our concept of what is religion, I mean, to you, what is spirit? How would you briefly define spontaneously your thoughts?
Well, I first want to say, Neil, that I think that religion, yes, has its negativity, for sure, because anything, as you said, that man touches becomes corrupted. However, I think that people can genuinely find the essence of spirit through religion, and there's a sense of community that can be found. I don't want to condemn religion entirely. I don't.
No, I'm not condemning religion. I'm talking about the difference.
I know you're talking about the difference, but it's in the context of,
restriction. I'm talking about the sheer basic facts of what spirit is and what religion is. I'm not putting terminology to religion as being inferior to spirit per se.
Well, I mean, I think it is inferior to spirit on if you're really comparing them apples to apples.
Well,
I think that obviously spirit, because spirit is not of the essence of the earth, It's not a construct of man. So, and it is from obviously a much higher source. Religion is going to be inferior, but if as human beings we're trying to find a connection with spirituality, and I'm not saying religion will always provide that, but if religion is a path in which people can become connected to spirit, I am for that.
Well, sure, I'm not against that concept. You can find spirit in the pursuit of capitalism, but we're just talking about the differences between the two concepts, that there is a difference. As I stated, spiritualism can be captured within religion.
Right, and I don't think you can, within spiritualism, I think it's difficult to find a sense of community because spirituality is more, people are, in terms of spirituality and seeking that on a singular essence, it's not about joining people together. So I think there are positives to, I think there are pros in regard to religion. I do.
Well, I'm not saying there are no pros to in regard to religion. I'm talking again about the differences. There's a difference without getting offended that one is being attacked over the other.
I'm not offended.
In the idea, we're trying to designate or begin a dialogue of what is the difference between pure spiritualism and, if you will, the spiritualism of religion. Because as soon as you encounter the word religion, which is based, the root word, real, R-E-A-L-I-G-I-O-N, but the attitude.
We're spelling it R-E-A-L-I-G-I-O-N.
Well, the attitude of when you say the word religion, as opposed to spirituality, when we look at those two concepts, and we think immediately, when you think of religion, your brain goes to the idea of what is real.
Right.
What is real?
It's tangible versus spirituality, which is intangible, obviously. But then you talk about, you know, the idea of the writing on the walls and the, you know, depicting scenes of, you know, what maybe UFO landing in prehistoric times. And we're talking about the essence of spirituality in ancient cultures. But, you know, these cultures, we have a caller we're going to get to in just a moment, 954. But these cultures also were, you know, hunters. And, you know, in my essence of spirituality, you're at one with the animal kingdom. So, I mean, there's all these.
Well, I've never had a questionnaire. I have a questionnaire, you know, in the day I had a question of religion. What is your religion? You know, Christianity, Jewish, Muslim, but they don't ever ask, what is your spiritualism?
No, of course not.
So the difference even in format can be calculated in terms of category.
Yes, of course. Of course. Let's take our caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
It's been a while. Good. How are you?
Good. You're 720. I know that. But what's your year?
64.
64.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're 29, 11, too, right?
Yeah. still waiting for that book. How about a chapter just on 29, 11?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm impatiently.
But I just wanted to add to your conversation that isn't religion is only more of an earthbound thing, and spirituality is more a universal concept. That's how I think Carolyn Mace said it, and others, because it's very. I don't know any religion that's more. They only consider earthly. Something that happened on Earth, but they don't consider the universe and in life on other planets or anything like that. It's more, And then consciousness is more of a spiritual term, and I don't really see that in religion. But
well,
and that it continues. You're just a consciousness that continues. And,
well,
and in religions, I mean, it's more...
The idea, I have to disagree somewhat just because the idea of everlasting life, that's captured in many different religions. I mean, it depends
which
religion.
In religion, Christ said, I'm not of this
earth.
And I mean, religion does have reaches within the cosmos. But I understand your point. There is more of an abstract aspect to
spirituality
and
than to religion.
You're really stating what I believe in between the two, the differences, because religion does bring it down to more of a concrete reality, even though there are aspects of otherworldly thinking within religion, and God itself is another worldly concept. So when we get into the idea of religion, yes, there are allusions to things outside of our planet. But spiritualism, Valerie, I mean, yes, it does. The essence of spiritualism doesn't really come with creeds, orders, conditions. It doesn't even, I mean, when you get into religion, well, what is your belief? What are your beliefs? What does your church believe in? You don't say, oh, I'm a spiritualist. Well, what are your, we don't get so much into the category and the outline of what beliefs are and how we ascribe ourselves to laws and regulations.
I want to go back to the Garden of Eden because you brought that into the conversation, Neil, earlier, and we're saying that, things were different until the Ten Commandments were written. Moses, had them on the Mount. But, in fact, there were conditions. So once there was an earth, a physicality established, even though there were only two conditions, don't eat of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, that was conditional. There was conditions within the Garden of Eden, and that was the first record of physical life on the planet, the creation story. So, attached to that is the first idea of religion. It wasn't
eat,
just on
you
the
You can
mountain.
Eat freely of any fruit
except
the tree
that's a condition.
Of, yes. But it was one thing. There was clearly one thing. More of a freedom of energy.
But that was the introduction.
All these listings of what you can't do and all this kind of thing. There was division in the creation.
There was
but
division.
Valerie, why don't you go ahead and give us your input?
Yes.
Well, there's the universal laws. I mean, that's what governs spirituality, isn't there? There's a set of universal laws. But I grew up Catholic, so that was just fear-based. So everything was more fear. So I see that as a difference, too, that there's not such this, in spirituality, such a fear-based, although there is a shadow to light aspect, but it's more about, love and transforming light and a balance and such. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that goes into a deep history, but, confess your sins one to another, and then you take that part out and you have confession. Or, he was baptized. You take that part out, you have the Baptist. It all stems from conditions.
But I have to say this, if we're talking about laws of karma, which are, we're on the planet, and that's, according to our beliefs, is a result of karma, obviously, and this is not within any construct of religion. I mean, karma originates, the word is, what is it, Hindi?
Yeah.
So, it's attached to a major religion, but the idea of karma is also a universal law, as Valerie was stating. And that is, we're on the planet because of karma, and we have to eliminate that karma and establish a transcendent energy.
Whose religion you're talking about. Karma is not going to be involved in every religion.
No, I know. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's a universal law. So if we're all here, those are conditions. So we're on the planet as a result of conditions, whether or not we're spiritual beings or not. It's the truth. And according to what we believe in terms of
karma and transcendence. Your physical journey is not finished until you resolve all your karma and establish a transcendent energy, and you keep returning to the planet until you do.
Well,
that's a rule.
Universal law is really more scientific because we're dealing with the universe, and that's based more on science. Than any other concept. If you're talking about how do we know what the universal laws are? We don't know what life there is within the universe. But when we talk about universal laws, we're talking about physics, and we're talking about planets and gravitational fields and how the solar system works. We get more into the idea. So this whole corruption, this word universal law, I don't even know what that means. There are no laws in the universe. A law is something that's imposed with a penalty if you break the law. But we're talking more into an abstraction of what a universal law is, which would be more into a scientific observation of accuracy that is measured by sheer just what we said,
physics,
science,
like
things like this. There are really no laws. Go to the moon. Is there a law on the moon? there's no laws anywhere out there. So universal law to me is a frivolous, ridiculous term. It doesn't mean.
Well, do you believe the universe is so vast that we as entities, separate entities, get to choose, pick and choose our own? And I'm not talking about pick and choose our own destiny by our actions, but actually have a choice in what happens to our souls.
Because now we have to narrow down what God is and how much control this abstraction of God does have over the universe, and whether everybody is ascribed to God's conditions, if that be the case. So I don't think there is any universal anything. We haven't defined what is the universe yet. We don't even know. So how can we impose laws upon the universe? I know in spiritualism, like you're saying, Valerie, it seems like a decorative term. The universal laws of spiritualism. But really, it's nonsense. The idea behind it isn't, but the terminology of how you define those ideas seems kind of absurd to me.
Okay. I don't know. I don't really have an answer. I'd have to go do more research before. Yeah.
It's just a conversation. We're just having a conversation. But I understand your approach, because when we get into spiritualism, we talk about universal laws. We tend to think that that's so easy on the ear. You know, it's so nice. Universal law.
Well, it's again a construct of man, universal law. It's something we're projecting onto the universe. However, I mean, if,
you know,
getting
yeah,
into the idea
of,
you
law,
know, why we're here in the first place.
If you run a red light on the moon, you broke the universal law. How do you undefine what? The laws of the universe is kind of just, like I said, I'm being redundant here, but your point, Valerie, coming into the conversation, talking about spiritualism and your concept of spiritualism is well taken.
Okay, Valerie. Well,
right.
Do you have a question or anything before we close? I mean, we're at the end of the show, but is there any?
Yeah, I just wanted you to put out energy for a friend of mine that's going through cancer treatment.
What's the birth date of the friend, just so we have it on?
10-6-64.
They've got that 7-17-28-10-1. Okay. And they have that 11 factor going on in their year and the zero in their month. So, okay.
27-9. Yeah, we'll put that out.
27-9, I add that up.
We'll put that out, and still relatively young age for a person. But we'll put, is this female?
Yes.
Male?
A female. Her name is Bonnie.
Yeah.
Bonnie, okay.
Well, we'll put that energy out for Bonnie. Certainly we will do that, Valerie. We'll put a prayer out for her overcoming this.
Yeah, cancer's actually come up a couple times this morning just because Alex Trebek, I watched Jeopardy, and Alex Trebek had been treated for pancreatic cancer, and they said he had gotten rid of it and then stopped chemotherapy, but now it's returned, apparently, like even worse than it was initially. And then Cokie Roberts, who's a commentator, I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah.
She died. She died of breast cancer.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what she passed from. I just saw the headline
So it's come up a couple times today already for us. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that, Valerie, and thank you for calling and contributing today.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye. You too. Bye. Okay, we're out of time, but that was lively. We were back on the air on Friday. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.